Hi, welcome to the Berry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
And I'm Jason.
And today we're welcoming back one of our favorite humans on the planet, Miss Katie. Hi, friend.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here.
I know. We've been actually planning this for a while, and then you posted something on your stories a couple weeks ago, and people were like, when are you going back on the Berry Nation podcast? We're like... Clearly, this needs to be scheduled.
Yes, I was like, okay, Berry Nation, you tell me when.
I love it. So today's conversation is really twofold. We want to get caught up with you. So you're about 18 months post-op. So we want to know, what has life been like? What's good? What's bad? What's, you know, all the things. And then this summer, our support theme is summer study. How do we stay steadily aligned to our goals? When the days get long, when the temps heat up, how do we just keep doing this when we kind of don't feel like we want to do it anymore? So we want to talk to you about that, because we know that you've had some highs and you've had some lows. And
For sure. And it's funny how I love that this was your theme, because I, you know, we kind of were talking about just some things that I have going on here recently, and especially last year. Summer, you know, after surgery for me, I was about 6 months post-op last summer. And I remember I was living it up. And I, not that I lost track of my goals, but I really let myself just enjoy life. And I'm kind of in this place now where I'm like, I almost feel like maybe that kind of stunted my progress a little bit. I don't know. I'm doing a lot of mind work here recently. And that's the one thing I've learned, is that it's literally a mindset shift. And honestly, I said I was ready for surgery. I definitely, there was a part of me that was, but I also think there's a big part of me that did not comprehend what I was really getting myself into. And looking back on that first year and where I'm at now, I have learned so much just about weight loss surgery, just the process in general, but also just what life looks like after that. And of course, you're not really going to learn until you get into the thick of it and you start living that life and kind of figuring it out for yourself. But I'm in a really, really good place right now. Definitely have some struggles, and we'll talk about that, but I'm really happy with where I'm at right now. So I'm really excited to talk more about this study summer and all that good stuff.
We are too. Jason and I, we're both kind of where you're at. We're in a good place, but we're struggling. There are things that we are just like, and he and Natalie and I go around about this all the time. Like, how do we better prepare people for surgery? I don't think you can, because you just don't know what you don't know until you're in it.
Literally. I mean, it's so true. You don't know what you don't know. And that's half the battle, is really just allowing yourself to trust the process. And I think, you know, I think surgery is what did this for me too, is after losing, you know, 85, I'm almost down 90 pounds. It just gives you a different sense of purpose in life. I feel like losing all of that weight has taught me so much about myself, and it's given me the desire and the drive to do more for my life. And I think that's why I'm in this place now, you know, 18 months out, whereas I was in a different place, even a year out. And I think just from that point to where I'm at now, I've just really focused on focusing. And that's kind of been one of my main goals. So.
Ooh, focus that. Okay. Now
I'm just the wheels are turning. I see it in April's eyes.
but that is so true. Like, oh, okay. Okay. Yes. Well, and Jason, this reminds me of a conversation you and I just also had too, about like, realizing that, like, you know, the further you get out from surgery, it gets harder, and you want to get angry about that. But then you're like, okay, but wait a minute, I have the capacity. I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to do the test. I'm going to have the conversations, right? Cause you're kind of in that spot too with me.
Yeah, it is the same thing. The clarity comes about, and the drive, I think what Katie's talking about too, you do start to feel that drive to want to do more, to want to do better, because, you know, Katie felt early on what a lot of us fall into later. So in a lot of ways where she may see it as a hindrance in what she's done so far, it actually almost will help her in the longer run, because you've actually seen what happens when you fall off or you veer from the path, and you have corrected course early. And now you're in a good place, like what you said, and you can start really narrowing down on what you feel like you were lacking before. And that's going to help you long out, because I myself felt like I nailed the journey really early on. And it wasn't until I started getting into that 18-month, two-year thing where I started feeling like, man, let's just start trying this and try a little bit of that. And try, you know, that's when the experimental phase starts popping in. And that's where a lot of people feel like, now I'm so far out, I don't even remember some of the early, everybody's like, I'll get back to basics. And I'm like, fuck, I don't remember what that is. Like, I'm so far out now, I've done so much shit. Like, I don't know what that is. Like, I don't remember what all that stuff, what it even looks like. And so yeah. The fact that you were able to do, you know, have kind of some stumbling blocks early on, it lets you see both sides of it. Like, you know what it, mm-hmm. now you know what it feels like to still live your best life while a bariatric patient. But at the same time, you can see where, how quickly it can turn, you know, bad. So now that you've brought yourself back, you've kind of, like I said, you've seen both sides, but you saw it early. So I think it's going to benefit you in the long run.
I hope so.
Oh yeah. 1,000%. Okay. Before we dive into this conversation, if people don't know who you are, they don't follow you on Instagram, Katie, will you just give us a little like intro? Who are you?
Of course. Yeah. My name is Katie. I'm 30 years old. I had weight loss surgery back in December of 2020. I have the gastric sleeve done. I'm kind of wavering in between 85 and 90 pounds. I haven't quite hit 90 yet, but I'm very, very close. I'm literally like 2 pounds away. So I'm like, can I just say that I've lost 90 pounds? Right. Like, we're so close. I've lost 88 pounds, and right now, you know, I'm kind of in this season of life where I don't think that I've quite hit maintenance. I truly believe I have more to go, but I feel like I've just been stalled for a really long time. I've lost like 5 pounds over the last 6 months. So, you know, loss is loss. Progress is progress, no matter how slow. However, I think there's more I could be doing. I think I'm just in a different headspace now, to where I'm ready to really just see what I can do and really push myself. I've been afraid of failure for so long. And I think weight loss surgery has taught me that I can do this. Like, I can do this. Look how far I've come already. It's been a huge help. Like, it is the tool that I needed for success. And I remember one of the first podcasts we did, you asked me if I thought I would be successful. And I fully believed that I would be. And I have been. And I still think that I'm going to be even more successful, just depending on what success looks like to you. For me, you know, that looks like feeling good in my skin. It looks like feeling good as far as my body working properly, having energy, feeling efficient, things like that. So in my mind, I feel like I've hit success, but I also still have room to grow. There's always room to grow and be better. And so that's kind of what I'm chasing after now.
Well, and I feel like also what we think about, you know, we talk a lot about your why, and your why may shift as time goes on, but also the goal line will shift as time goes on. Like, what you originally thought when you started out was going to look like success for you will also change as time goes on. Like, there's 100%. Lots of people who are like, I'm going to have the surgery, I'm going to lose 200 pounds. And all of a sudden you're like, your body's like, yeah, probably not. And then you kind of start settling in with reality and what your new goal may be. And a lot of people think of that and go, well, if you move the goal line, then you're just settling for whatever you have. But that's not really the case. Like, you can't, nobody can mathematically say when you go in for surgery, you're going to lose this much weight, you're going to keep this much off, this is how your life's going to be, because life is life. Life happens. Life is fluid. Life's always going to move. Things are always going to happen. And it's not going to look the same day to day. So yeah, eventually, if your goal does shift, that doesn't mean that you failed at everything and that you weren't as successful. The success can change. You know, the view of success can change as time goes on.
Totally agree with that.
100%. And I'm so glad you said that too, Jason, because I know for me, when I went into surgery, I really had three goals. I wanted to lose a bunch of weight. I wanted to not be a size 22 anymore. And I wanted my sleep apnea to go away. And once all three of those happened very quickly, then all of a sudden you're like, well, I've reached those goals. But then you realize, oh, other facets of my life need a lot of work. Yes. So instead of having those very limited goals, your brain just goes, oh my God, like everything's a shit show. Fix it all. Right. So
But really, yeah.
Well, so
I mean, we numbed it with food for so long, we didn't want to look at it. Like we were so busy thinking about everything else. Like all that shit fell by the wayside. We weren't worried about all that. But once literally,
that is it. Like that is so on point. Like it's kind of funny. Like I talk to my Instagram followers all the time about how I'm really hard on myself and how like I have these high expectations. And part of it is, you know, comparing my life to people on social media. I see all these people on TikTok just filming their morning routines and a day in the life. And they just do all these things. Their houses are immaculate, perfectly clean, you know, crisp. And it's like, I want that. I can do that for my life. But in reality, you know, I was almost 300 pounds for quite a while. I was very depressed and I let everything in my life pretty much go at one point where laundry was piled up. There were dishes everywhere. Nothing was clean. I didn't have the energy to clean. And now I'm having to learn all of these new habits when it comes to taking care of myself and taking care of my home. You know, I've never really learned that kind of stuff. I never really lived a lifestyle where like I kept up with my laundry, where I filled the dishwasher every night and had a clean kitchen. Like I didn't have a dishwasher for one, but also like I didn't have the energy to clean because I was so depressed and so overweight. And so now that I have that energy, I'm trying to really just focus on building new habits in other areas of my life that are going to kind of all work together to make me happy and healthy and successful.
Yep. Well, really that's what today's conversation is all about. We want to understand how you're doing. We want to understand what's changed and shifted for you. And then we're excited to learn like what are you moving through right now and how are you moving through it?
For sure. Yeah.
All right. So, can we do it?
Yeah, let's do it. I was getting ready to rattle off. Dive in. Okay. You ask me the questions and we'll go from there.
Oh, that is the role that I am most comfortable in, as you all know. All right, girlfriend. So what has life at 18 months been like? What is what you thought it would be? What is nothing like what you thought it would be?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, when I made the decision to have weight loss surgery, I told myself I'm going to lose 100 pounds in the first year. Like I'm so ready for this. Like that's truly what I believed was going to happen. And once I hit about 80 pounds, everything just kind of stabilized. And while I'm very grateful for that loss and I'm really proud of how far I've come, it's not what I thought it was going to be. As far as the number, that's really not my main focus. My doctor, I had my follow-up appointment last week and, you know, she's really happy with where I'm at. Basically what she told me is this. She said, weight loss surgery pretty much promises that you're going to lose 50 to 75% of your excess body weight. She said, you've already hit that. Like you've hit that 70%. You're above that now. And she said, so this is where it gets hard. She said, this is where the focus really comes in and things get really tough. And she said, I'm really happy with where you're at. And she started talking about plastic surgery and all this and that. And I'm like, I'm not happy with where I'm at. Like I'm happy now, but like, I know myself. I know my body. I've lived with this body for 30 years. I know I have more in me and I know I'm capable of more. And that to me is more important than plastics right now. Like, of course, I would love to have tummy tuck one day. Like I sit in the mirror and I play with my loose skin and I pull it tight so I can see what the figure of my body is going to look like, you know, like I love that. I'm so excited for that phase. But I think I'm just in this place where I'm like, this is not what I thought my body was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And I want to get to that point. Like, I want to know how far I can go. I want to push myself. Like, I'm finally in this place where I'm like, okay, yes, I've done great, but like, I'm ready for more. And I think the last year has been really tough on me emotionally. I've really, really struggled with my food addiction. Like, the taste of food is something that I still love. And I still have a hard time taking a few bites and letting myself feel satisfied. And that is, it's just, it's so crazy to me, because when they say that weight loss surgery doesn't cure your issues with food, like, that statement could not be more true. And I think you don't really realize that until you're in it, until you're living it. Like, I was in denial for the longest time that I had a food addiction. I was in denial. I was like, I don't have a food addiction. I just like to eat, you know? No, like,
yeah, we're foodies.
Yes, mm-mm. We're foodies. But like, the reality is, and I don't even know how to like put this into words, but I just was thinking about this the other day, how even going out to eat, the portion sizes that they serve you, like, it's crazy the amount of food that people are like putting away. And now, like, weight loss surgery has taught me portions. It's taught me how to live off of what I need to eat, you know, not living to eat. And so it's just been a huge mind shift over the last year. I've really struggled with my emotional eating and binge eating at times. And yes, you can still binge eat even if after you've had weight loss surgery. And so I actually am getting ready to start working with a coach, because I think I just really need that one-on-one guidance. I obviously cannot do it on my own. I've struggled, and I think I could if I really put my mind to it, but I struggle with self-discipline and I need that accountability. I know I need that. And so that's why I'm reaching out for help again. Like, here's round two, let's go. Like, I'm just ready. I'm ready to go.
Well, the thing, like what you were talking about that stuck out to me, that's kind of amazing that a lot of people don't talk about, is the fact that you realize with your doctor talking about plastics and all that, you're not ready to approach that yet because you want more for you. So yeah. Many people want to fast forward through the progress and they want to get to that point and have plastics and do the things to do it because that means they're done. In their mind, they're like, oh, let me just get to that finish line. I have plastics and we'll show. And I'm done. Very impatient. That shit's done. I can go start living the rest of my life. And it's like, no. Having the awareness to sit back and say, I'm not ready for that yet. I want more for myself is a very powerful statement. Like, you, there's a lot of power in you realizing that you're not ready for that. And that, because there are people that have gone through and had the plastics and done the things and then had regain on top of that, just due to the fact that they weren't ready. And the fact that you actually stood up and said, you know, this is not what this is going to be yet, that you know, there's power.
Well, and the other thing that you said that really resonated with personal conversations, Jason, you and I have had, and the conversation we just had with Ked on the podcast, that whole concept of food and not being satisfied with the amount, even though we're physically full, not being emotionally satisfied or mentally satisfied, it is a real struggle. And that's why, like, even I'm eating past fullness because I'm doing the same thing. I'm full, but something is not satisfied inside of me. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what I'm trying to fill.
Yeah. I think it's more common than what people talk about. I feel like people don't ever talk about this. And so, like, I literally got on my stories on Instagram and I just was in a very vulnerable state. This was a few months ago. And, you know, I've talked about on the podcast before about how I like to smoke weed, and I've kind of gotten to this place where I've been smoking it every night and just a little bit. I don't really go overboard, but weed, it relaxes my stomach muscles and I can eat more. And I feel so damn satisfied when I'm eating more. And I hate that about myself. I hate that is something that I'm still trying to find, you know, I'm trying to find that feeling of satisfaction through food. And that is something I've really struggled with. And like, I don't think I'm addicted to weed, but like, I do think that there's definitely a transfer addiction happening in there somehow. I think, I'm grateful and I praise God that like he's opened my eyes early on and that it's this has only been going on for a few months, you know, to where I'm not totally derailing all of my progress, but like I'm just kind of starting to wake up a little bit and be like, okay, I am literally going to throw everything away that I've worked so hard for over the last year if I don't get this under control, if I don't really dig deep and figure out like what are my issues with food? Why am I struggling with this? What am I searching for? What is it that I need to devote my life to in order to feel satisfied and full in every meaning of that word? And so I really think like that's, I've just been very interested in the nutrition part of food here recently, just how it works. What are macros? What are the building blocks of a calorie and how does our body process that? And something that I actually learned here recently is that protein is what, 4 calories per gram, I think it is. And fat is like 9 calories per gram. And so like, mm-hmm. It's just crazy to see I don't know. I'm just like, I'm learning a lot and I'm really wanting to learn more. And I feel like having that understanding is really going to help me be able to process things a little bit better when I'm making those choices. Like, okay, I'm choosing this meal because of this, this, and this. This is how it's going to benefit me. This is how my body is going to process it. And in the end, this is how I'm going to feel versus I want that cheeseburger. It's going to taste good in the moment, but what is it doing to my insides? You know? So I think having that baseline of understanding of what food is, how it breaks down in the body, I think that's what I need in order to be successful is to really understand it. And so that's why I'm kind of in this place where I'm like, I want to learn more. I want to do more because I want to be healthy. I want that so bad for myself. And I'm trying to do everything I can to just fight that mental battle of food addiction.
Well, you've said a lot of powerful things in recently. I mean, if there was a therapist here with us, right? They would commend what you're doing for realizing I am looking for satisfaction or fullness in something that is derailing my progress. So the fact that you even realized that, freaking amazing, right?
I've done a lot of, honestly, I've never pursued self-development as strongly as I am now. Mm-hmm. And I think my weight loss is a lot to attribute for that, but I just, mm-hmm. I read a lot. I read a lot of books and a lot of books from powerful people or people who just seem to have their shit together for lack of a better phrase. And just trying to figure out, okay, what do they have that I don't? Like what is it that I'm missing out of my life? You know? And I've really been devoting my time to prayer, meditation, education, research. Like I've just been really diving like deep into all of it. And I don't know. I'm just the type of person that really I need purpose and I need a deeper meaning. Like that's just who I am. And so I try to find that in every aspect of my life. So mm-hmm. right now it's my diet. I want purpose. I want meaning. I want to know the ins and outs. You know, when I started my new job, I wanted to know the ins and outs. I want to know what it is that's going to make me an expert at my job. Like that's just the way my mind works. And so I think that's how I got to this place of like, I want to know more. I want to research more. And yeah, so that's where I'm at now.
Well, making more informed decisions about the things that you put into your body is really kind of the whole nut to crack in this situation. Like that's all what we're all striving to do. So the more information and the more informed you can be on those decisions is, I mean, that's really that's the key that unlocks it all. So, but the fact that you're striving for that and looking for that, I think, you know, a lot of what I'm finding with the fact that, you know, when we don't feel full and we, you know, we want to eat to capacity on that is we're looking for familiarity. We want the comfort of our old life. We want something that makes Yes. sense, something that we remember, something that we can hold on to. And that's always been our go-to. That's what we know. That's that comfort level that we're seeking. That's our, you know, that's our blanket. That's, you know, that's our safety blanket. That's our safe space, our base, so to speak. And when we find it, while it doesn't serve our bariatric purpose at the same time, it makes us feel, but that's where we feel better in that moment. And that's why you can stop is because, oh, now I'm comfortable. I'm at my comfort level. And it allows you to let go of the rest of it. And it, you know, it really is finding, and that that point is going to be different for everybody. It's the same reason as the reasons that we do it. The root cause of that is going to be different for everybody. So, you know, it's really thinking about and being able to attribute those feelings to whatever it is that's causing you to get there is what, you know, we need to be looking for in all of us, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally wrote it down in my notebook, which you guys know I keep with me 24/7, but yeah, right. We haven't found comfort yet in our new life.
It's so true.
Right. So we're looking for that old familiarity. And what sets this apart from before is that we get to that point of fullness and we very quickly realize, but this isn't comfortable anymore. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's terrifying because you're like, oh shit, what used to help me find what used to be comforting is no longer comforting. And I know that now, but for me, I panic a little bit because it's like, well, then what is comfort? Where am I going to find it? And you just, for me, it's like, I panic a little bit.
Yeah. You have to become comfortable being uncomfortable. Yes. Like that's one thing that like I have just said to myself over and over throughout this process and just throughout this pursuit of happiness and health that I'm on right now is like, I have to learn that growth does not come from comfort zones. And mm-hmm. it's so hard for me to get in that mindset because I am a comfy cozy person. I like my safe. Like, look, I'm in my bed right now. I'm comfy. I'm cozy. I like to feel warm and fuzzy and comfy cozy. So like not having that is really hard for me. And I'm just, yes. I'm trying to remind myself that you're pursuing growth and it's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing, like, you know, when I think back to it, you know, April, whenever we were in Tacoma and we were doing a thing, like when you took us to the Space Needle and I'm like walking on the floor and I'm like really tiptoeing out there on the glass bottom floor at the top of the Space Needle, you think about it, you're like, that's exactly what this journey is. We're going on a trail that we've never been on. It's dark. We don't have a map. We don't have a light. So every foot forward has to be, we're kind of searching for the safe, soft ground. We want to make sure that we're, you know, that there's going to be something in front of us that we can stand on, that we can hold on to, but we just don't know. Like we're legitimately, you know, setting out on a path that we're unfamiliar with. And so that's where a lot of the discomfort comes from, is just not knowing what's underneath your foot for the next step. And so, you know, like Katie said, you know, being comfortable being uncomfortable is one of the hardest things to do, but once you can do it and know that you're still safe, you know, that's when the real progress and work and those things can start. Because we can say the work is, you know, the work of weight loss surgery all day long, and you can really work at something with no results for a long time. We've all tried that, you know, before we had surgery. But it's legitimately when you start getting comfortable being uncomfortable that the progress of the work that you've put in can start.
I totally agree. And April and I, we were just talking about this book that I read and I made her read. And I'm telling you, if you need a kick in the ass, like this is the book for you. It's called The Slight Edge. I got it from Amazon. And I saw a girl on TikTok just briefly mention it in one of her TikToks. And I was like, huh, I haven't heard that one. I'm going to buy it. That book has changed my life. And that is literally why I feel the way I do now. I can't even point out all the amazing things about that book. But the one takeaway from that I have consistently said to myself every day is that your life does not stop moving. Life is in a constant state of movement. And you are either making decisions that are pushing you up to success, or you're making decisions that are pulling you down to failure. And remembering that is what keeps me going. If I mess up or if I make a choice that probably wasn't the best, I know I'm constantly moving. Course correct. Okay, let's keep going. Like life just doesn't stop because you made one bad choice. Life doesn't stop because you messed up. And so I think it's important to realize how important those daily decisions all add up, but also it kind of teaches you to give yourself grace in the moment too, and know that one mess up, even if you're in a tough week and you have eaten crap every single day that week. It is never too late. It's never too late to course correct and be like, okay, look, that's where we were. We're acknowledging it. Let's pick up our bootstraps and let's keep on going. And let's start. And every day is an opportunity for a new start.
Right. Well, because his premise, which the number one thing I appreciate about that book is he was like, look, you are not smarter or dumber than anybody else. The people who are successful are not any different from you. You already know, you already have the tools that you need to be successful. You've already done it, right? So like we work really hard, we reach a goal. Well, then we stop doing all of these little things that got us there. And then we drop back down. Well, you already know how to do it because you did it, right? Yes. And everything is curved. That's what he's talking about, right? We're either curving upwards in a direction towards our goal or we're curving further away, but everything is curved. Mm-hmm. And he also pointed out that the Apollo mission, right, that went to the moon was off track 29 of every 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Which means that it was constantly making these little course adjustments. And I was like, oh my God, the key to this is not to say, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and it's going to take me there immediately. And then as soon as I make a mistake, then throw it to that all or nothing mindset. No. You say, that's where I want to go. Here's where I'm going to start. And then as soon as I get to that place where it's like, oh, I need it. Correct, course, right? Like you're, we're supposed course to be correct. Doing.
That is how you get there. Yeah, it's crazy. It's mind-blowing when you read that.
It is.
And, you know, one of the crazy things that I think about when you guys talk about this and when we think about how, you know, people in their journeys want to just get to the finish line. They just want to hit that goal. They want to win the goal, all the things. If you think about it from a sports mindset of championships, when you hear whoever, whatever sport it is, whatever sport you follow, once you see someone hit the pinnacle of said sport, if they win the trophy, the championship, the medal, the whatever the hell you want to call it, they all have the same, repeat champions all have the same mindset when it comes to that. They ask them, what are you going to do? What did you do after you won? What did you do after you, you know, won the champion? Oh, I celebrated for a couple of days and then it was right back to work.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. You can't just live in the bliss of winning the championship, because guess what? Next season's coming around. The next fight's coming. The next swim meet's coming. Like whatever the sport is, the next match is coming. So you have to be ready for that. And that's the way life, I mean, the trajectory of life is the same way. Like, yeah, you can win today, but guess what? Tomorrow's right there knocking on the door. So just because you had, you know, you have your weekend, guess what? Monday's right there. Like it's always going to be the next thing coming. So you celebrate that win, take your time to absorb what you're doing and live in the now, but just know you have to be prepared for what's next, because there's always going to be a next.
There's really no end to the journey. That's the thing. There's no end.
There's no after. It's life.
Yes.
And I think so many of us, we go into this thinking like, oh, I'm going to have the surgery. I'm going to lose X amount of weight and then I'm done. And then it's like, no. This is actually your life. This is all encompassing. And when you lose this thing, this weight that has been holding you back from your life, you are going to want to go, you know, all in on your life, because you realize just how much you have been holding back on all of it. And right. And to think that you're just going to be done at this arbitrary number or size is not the case. And I think that's why so many people get to their goal weight or their goal size. And then they're looking around going, oh my God, well now what? Yeah, exactly. Now what? Like, you're still not happy. You're still not where you thought you wanted to be. I mean, earlier in the conversation, you know, Katie, when you were saying like, I'm just not where I want to be. I have never met a bariatric patient that is ever where they want to be at 1 year, 2 years, 18 months, 3 years. No, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not. So, and it's like my weight and my size, I don't know. Right. But like, still, I'm never there. And the danger is that arrival fallacy, right? Like, well, I'm going to get there and this will finally be it.
Yeah.
Right. But there's also a difference of realizing I'm not content yet, right? Contentment is the goal. Yes. And to just be able to be on an even keel and to be content with everything and to just, you know, be proud or be happy or be chill or be okay. right? And we get there by constantly doing this work. We just had a conversation with Chris and Rissa, and we were talking about like, what do we do when we don't want to do the work anymore? And Chris and Rissa, both were all of us, we were like, we take a break. Like, we're just like, we're done. But I went one step further and I said, but what do you do when you take a break? What does that look like behind the camera? And everybody's answer was basically self-care. Oh, I get a massage. I go for a walk. I go on a girls' trip. I do this. I do that. None of it had to do with food, but yet nobody is, everybody's afraid to say what it means when I take a break. But if you're actually doing the work of weight loss surgery, you're still taking your vitamins. You're still hitting your water goals. You're still eating protein first. You're stopping most of the time when you're full. You just never stop doing those things. You might take a mental break and you're doing things for yourself, for your soul, but you don't actually get a break from this work of weight loss surgery.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. There's no breaks. I mean, you can put yourself on a break, but you're going to see kind of falling down the curve. And it's a hard reality to face. And I think that is why regain happens so often, is because people don't want to face that reality. Yeah. And I don't know, I guess for me, you know, I'm in this place now where like, I don't really want to be a psycho mom, but like, I'm thinking about how I'm going to raise my kids and like what types of foods I want to feed them and how, like, I don't want them to struggle like I did. And how can I be the best example for my kids one day? And all I can think of is I need to lead by example. I need to show them you can have anything you want in life that you put your mind to. And that is the life I'm trying to create, basically, is I just want to be strong. I want to feel good. I want to be happy. And honestly, the one thing I feel like that I read in all of my books, all of my self-help, self-development books, is people who are successful, like they do move their bodies. They are active. They pay attention to what they put in their bodies. Like, all of that plays a significant part in every aspect of it. So that's who I'm trying to be. I want to be my best and I want to feel good. And I know that starts with what I'm putting into my body.
Yes. So
that's where my focus is now.
Yep. Well, I mean, really, it comes down to those three pillars, and all of the experts that we've talked to in all of our podcast episodes, it comes down to those three things: movement, mindset, metabolic wellness, right? And the disease of obesity is so diverse. There are so many causal factors that go into it, right? There are thousands, environmental, biological, right? But the three things that we have control over is how we move our bodies, what we put into our bodies, and how we use our thoughts. There's three things out of probably the 1,000 things that contribute to obesity that we can control, that we can manage, that we can really, you know, have efficacy over. And the fact that you're really focusing on the things that you can control, right, that you do have the ability to do so, means that you really are shifting in how you're thinking about your life as a bariatric patient. And it really almost sounds like you're kind of in that stage that we call the commitment, right? It's when the honeymoon ends. It's where this life gets really hard, where you just don't want to do it. For me, there was a lot of anger. There was a lot of emotion. There was a lot of just like, you know, just raw, nope, just months of nope, noping.
Yeah. Yep.
But then all of a sudden I started to see my curve go in a direction that I didn't like. And what all three of us have done, which is, I think, the number one thing that we can do, like Jason, your space needle story, you made the decision. Nope. I'm just going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to do this. You also surrounded yourself with people that were walking ahead of you, were behind you, were holding your hand, were sitting down with you when things were comfortable, right? You had a community of people. And the other thing that we're all doing is we're reaching out to the experts. We're learning as much as we can from the people that are qualified and that know, who've dedicated their life to understanding, right, this process. And then the other thing is accountability. We're talking to each other. I mean, Katie, you said you hired a coach.
Yeah.
right? Like that's huge.
I start on Monday officially. So I literally just got my meal plan emailed to me like right before I logged on here. So,
I haven't even looked at it yet,
but I know I'm so nervous. And I think like I'm just nervous of disappointing my coach, of just not living up to like what my expectations for myself are. And you know, and I think like I just put a lot of pressure on myself, and that's, I'm trying not to get caught up in that headspace, but it's just, she's just really like, we're doing one of those elimination diets kind of sorta to start out with. She really wants to focus on my gut health first and make sure we're taking out artificial sweeteners and, you know, things like that. And yeah, like, yeah, it's intense. Like I am a Splenda lover, but like, she doesn't want me to use Splenda. She wants me to switch to like Stevia or whatever the more natural one is. Yep. But she said it can really affect a lot of things. And honestly, like I always think to myself, oh, well, this is a better option. It's a zero cal, you know, but like, that's not always true. So I'm just anxious. I'm interested to see how it works for me, you know, like what I discover about myself. And, you know, I've never really been this restrictive with myself. And I don't want to say restrictive because I am going to be eating like a lot of like full nutritional meals. We're reverse dieting. So I'm going to be eating more calories than what I'm used to, which is going to be a huge, huge change for me. And I'm worried it's gonna be hard. Like I have my macros that she set for me, but honestly, at this point, like I'm trusting her. I know that she's very, very well knowledged in this area, and we're just gonna go for it and see how it works. And I don't know, I'm just excited to learn more about myself, more about my health, more about what, you know, like I said before, like what I'm putting into my body and how it affects me. So.
And that's it's a very hot topic in this community. They shared it in Berry Nation, but basically they're doing a lot of research now on nutrition with bariatric patients after surgery. And this research, the scientific article basically said that what they're finding is that bariatric patients' nutrition is actually worse. They eat worse food after surgery than they did before. And I haven't dug deep enough into the article to understand what they mean by worse food, but I'm assuming is that we're looking for these highly processed foods, or we're consuming foods that are highly processed because, well, they pack more protein into smaller amount. They're designed for us, right? All of that kind of stuff. So it's not that there aren't benefits to it, but if we're ingesting things that are actually counterproductive for our overall health, i.e. gut health and all this other kind of thing, then is the food worse? Right?
Yeah. And it's also like, we've been ingrained to see protein first, protein first, protein first. And like, sometimes all you focus on is protein. You're not focusing on the good carbs, you know, that your body also needs to make energy. Yeah. I'm not eating enough carbs. I don't think especially when it comes to vegetables, like I have a really hard time getting a full serving of vegetables because I'm so full from eating my protein first. And so it's hard to find that balance, and it's something you really, really have to focus on. And so that's kind of what I'm looking for, is how to create balanced meals where I'm getting all of that nutrition that I need throughout the day. So that's kind of been my main like drive to do this, because I want to be able to know that like every meal that I make, like I'm getting everything that I need that's going to sustain me.
Yep. You know, and what's really helped me now, I did not think this way before surgery, right? But when I commit to trying something new, I'm not committing to doing this for the rest of my life. This isn't like I'm moving to a new planet. I'm just simply saying, I'm going to see what this is all about for a couple weeks, right? That's all it is. And like what you said, it's not that you're eliminating anything. It's that you are just going to eat a different way for a while and see what happens.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's kind of my mindset too, is I'm going to try this for a few months. I'm nervous because it's the summertime. We're leaving for vacation in 2 weeks. So I'm going to be on vacation at the very beginning of this journey, and I'm going to have to rely on my coach a lot. And, you know, she said, text me if you have questions, let me know if you need help. Like, I am here for you, but I can only help you if I know what's going on. Don't be afraid to reach out. And so, and that's something that like, I have always struggled with. Like, I don't like to ask for help. Like, I like to try to figure it out on my own. And so I'm really going to lean on her, especially when we're on vacation. Like, okay, here's where we're going. Please help. Please help me figure out what is going to fit my macros.
that's a huge thing too, is making sure, like you said, you know, that a lot of us don't like to ask for help because we've been let down by that a lot in our past. But leaning on your support systems is absolutely vital to success in this journey. I mean, you just can't, you can't do it alone. We've seen it time and time again. There's too many people that don't have the support they need, and that's where they fall off. They falter, they have hard times. But you said a lot of things about, you know, what your, the journey you're embarking on now with this train, with this, you know, with this coach, is it's your first time doing a lot of these things. So granted, you put pressure on yourself, you want to succeed, you want to do this, but you also have to give yourself a little bit of space and grace in the fact that you've never done it before.
Yeah.
So expecting 100%. Yourself to just jump out and just nail this shit every day of the week, every meal, just like, and you know, given the fact that you've never done it before, like, I understand wanting to have high expectations and wanting to succeed. You just have to not be so hard on yourself if it takes a little bit to get your foot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I have never been physically assaulted by anyone in my life. I'm going to say that. The hardest bitch slap I ever got in my life was when I started a diet program right here in Washington, and it was very restrictive. And same thing, Katie, I freaked out and I was like, oh my God, but like my first week or my second week is, well, I'm going to Alaska and I'll be on a, you know, I'll be on a private boat for 2 weeks. And oh my God, how am I going to eat? And my freaking coach at the time just deadpan looked at me and she's like, are you going to Alaska to eat or to hang out with your family? And I was like, bitch. But you know what I mean? Like, when she told me that, I was like,
you're right. I'm not taking a vacation from my life choices. I'm taking a vacation from the stress of my life.
And you don't know that, you know, like in our minds, we think we're going for one reason, but when we're confronted with the facts, we're like, mm-hmm. Oh shit, maybe I was just going to eat. Cause I had all these places lined out that I was going to smash when we got there. And now you're like, wait, you're telling me I can't do any of this shit? Like, what the fuck? Like, it completely changes your outlook on it. And that's when you really realize that there's some shit going on that you didn't really, yeah, that you didn't know. Cause everybody's like, I'm not a food addict. I'm not addicted to shit. And then you're like, oh, well, I guess maybe I am.
Well, and the thing that we always, you know, when people use the word addicted or addiction, right, instantly everybody kind of,
yeah,
but that just means that either you truly are, you're addicted, you're dependent, or you're tolerant. So if you're dependent on food to help you move through difficult situations, or if that statement rings true for you, if you're worried about going on vacation and not being able to eat certain foods, you're dependent. Like that food is playing a role in your life that is not healthy. That's detracting from it. That's all that means. It's not a judgment. It's not a shame thing. It just means you are dependent or tolerant on that substance to get you through, which is right. When you were talking about the weed thing, you might not be addicted, but you are dependent on that to help you get to a place of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
But you recognize that. You would have never recognized that before.
Yeah.
No way.
No.
So what are you going to do? Like this, our support theme this summer is summer study, right? Like staying consistent, staying steadily aligned to our goals. So you have committed to following this, you're going to try this new way of eating.
Yes.
What have you thought about? Like, what are you going to do when you don't want to do it anymore? Or what are you going to do when you make your first slip up, right? Whatever we want to call it. What's your game plan?
Yeah. You know, honestly, I'm going to tell my coach. I'm going to just be open and honest with her. I feel like that's the best way to do it. And I feel like me sitting and getting upset with myself, like that's not going to solve anything. And I'm just going to be honest with her. And that's the one thing that like in, she took a lot of time to, like, I filled out this questionnaire about a lot of different things. And so she took a lot of time to respond to every single question, answer any concerns that I had, you know, to really thoroughly explain what it is that we're doing and why we're doing it. And the number one thing that she kept stressing was, look, we're not striving for perfection. Perfection doesn't exist, but we're striving for consistency. And she was like, we have to have an open line of communication at all times. As if you are okay with that, and if you are willing to have an open line of communication and be honest, then you will be successful. We will work whatever we need to out. We will figure out your goals. If we need to reassess and rework your program, if it's not sustainable for you, we can make changes at any time. It's, you know, it's if you're still feeling hungry, then we need to adjust, because that's not, you shouldn't be at the end of the day be starving. Like, you need to eat when you're hungry, and we need to figure out what's going to get you there. So just knowing that, like, she is supportive in the fact that, like, this isn't like a one size fits all plan. Like, this is catered directly to me and my needs. And I think that's why I feel a lot more comfortable diving in. Like, I say that lightly, because I am not, this is going to be very uncomfortable. I'm very aware of that, but I feel comforted knowing that I have that support and that I can be open and honest. And if I'm struggling, like, I need to reach out for help, and I feel mm-hmm. comfortable reaching out for help. And that's one area that I've always struggled with, is asking for help. So I, you know, I'm just, my goal here is to take it one day at a time, one meal at a time. I'm going to be measuring everything out really, like, to the ounce, to the, you know, gram, and just making sure that, like, I'm following plan as close as I can. You know, I'm not going to be perfect, and I'm aware of that, but I'm just going to do my best. That's all I can really do.
Yep. Well, and it sounds like, and you know, you're also adopting that slight edge mentality, right? Of that course correction. Like, yeah. Okay, I'm going to make a slight tweak. And like what you said, when we keep our shame, for lack of a better word, inside of us, it has power and control over us. If we just simply say it publicly, it loses all of its oomph, right? Yeah. It just goes away. So, you know, to know that you've got that accountability person in your corner, you're going to be open and honest with it. You're going to be making those course corrections. That's huge. That yeah. is huge.
I'm excited. So, I'm nervous, but I'm excited.
Well, I mean, we were all nervous and excited. I mean, but again, we've done this before. We've jumped into the deep end. We've burned the ships before.
Yep.
We had bariatric surgery. We've done this before.
Yeah.
It just looks a little different. So I looked up the definition of consistent, because it's just, I need to know what it is. So consistent, acting or done in the same way over time, especially so as to be fair or accurate, right? Or unchanging in nature, standard, or effect over time. Yeah, steady, stable, regular, even, uniform, orderly, right? The word perfect, 100%, is not a part of this definition.
Over time is what I keep hearing.
I was going to say, I was like, the key to it is the over time. It's a timeline. Yeah. It's not going to happen overnight. It won't happen tomorrow. Yep. Katie, you're not going to start your program and be like, shit, I just nailed it. It's only Tuesday. Like, it's you know.
Right. Yeah. So the other thing that I did too the other night, I'm reading another book called How to Change? Yeah, How to Change by Katie Milkman. And anyway, she was talking about, you know, the power of our personal pledge, like just saying to ourselves, or like writing it down, posting, like, I'm gonna do this X number of times, right? Increases your likelihood of doing it. So when I really thought about what I wanted to do this summer that was aligned to my goals, I was like, wait a minute, how many days are there in this summer? There's 94 days in summer this year. So June 21 to September 22nd. That is,
I guess,
summer.
We're not even there yet. I'm literally starting my plan on June 20th, like right before the start of summer, like right at the start of summer, basically.
Oh my God. Look at you. Look at you, my friend. So James Clear was in my brain. James, Jeff, and Katie are now just living rent-free in my brain. And I'm so thankful for that.
I love it.
Right? So a majority, right? Because James Clear says to win an election, we only need a majority, mm-hmm. right? Which is 50% plus one. So that would be 48 days. So if I did something 48 days this summer, that would be, I was doing it a majority of the time. And I was
That's awesome.
So then I was like, well, what's a supermajority? So in Congress, supermajority is 66%, right? Okay, so 73 days. So if I did something 73 out of the 94 days, I would be in a supermajority. And I was like, okay, crazy. It's crazy. But it also, for me, I can kind of count backwards. So now on my tracker, every time I do something, I'm going to write in the number. Oh, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'm going to see how close I am to my goals. And then I even broke it down by the week. So I was like, okay, I want to get in 50 Peloton workouts this summer. I bought a second Peloton bike for the lake because I'm crazy.
I love that. No, that's committed.
Well, I really want to be committed and consistent. So I bought a used one. I'm growing. I bought a used one, not a new one. Cool. I love that journey for me too. So does my husband.
Oh, I know Grady loves it because, yeah, you would have, if I would have told you I was about to use Peloton, you would have thrown up on me a couple of months ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I was like, cool. So that's like 3 workouts a week.
That's what my plan is. 3 days of walking.
And I was like,
for now.
I was launching myself to the moon about like setting these goals. And then instantly I was like, oh, this is stupid. I'm never going to be able to do it. Like, this is what I was thinking. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let me dial this back. A majority is 49. Right. So I started doing the math and I was like, if my ass can't do something 3 out of 7, I got deeper problems than not riding a Peloton bike. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was just like, and the crazy thing is that yes, that took a little bit of time. I also figured that out at 2:30 in the morning because I could not sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like when I measure out my food, it takes me 30 seconds. It takes me 1 minute to log my food. Mm-hmm. I am talking myself out and up of all of these things that are actually not that big of a deal because I'm so afraid to fail. Right. Yeah. Because I'm just so afraid of like what that date is actually going to show. I just, you know, I'm so afraid of proving myself wrong. For so many years, I thought you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. And it's comfortable to believe, to just still believe you can't do that. But all of the evidence in my life now says you can. And I am terrified to prove myself wrong. I'm terrified to actually say you can do it. I don't know why.
What is that? I feel that way too. I've been trying to like dig deeper into myself and figure out why I'm so scared of failure. And I don't understand why. I struggle with that too.
Well, I think a lot of when it comes to failure after, you know, post-op in this is that this is the last resort for a lot of people. So failure in this, like that, like then what? Because there's nowhere to turn. Because this was our last shot for a lot of us. So, you know, a lot of insurances only pay for 1 bariatric surgery in a lifetime. So there's no revision unless you come out of pocket. There's no, so this is, I mean, this is it. So, I mean, if you know, nobody wants to fail at this because there's nowhere else to turn. And you don't want to go back to how you lived before. And what we have to keep kind of bringing up is that you're either in bariatric compliance or you're out of bariatric compliance, but you're only a couple of good choices away from getting yourself back into compliance if you're out of, because you've been at whatever your lowest weight may have been, you've been there before. So to say you can't get back there, you know, is something that we would have thought of pre-op, but you didn't have your tool pre-op. Now that we have our tools, you know, post-op, we can get back there. It's just going to take work. And a lot of people are just like, I don't even know where to start. It's a lot. I don't want to mess with it. I don't want to feel that way. But, you know, it's not that it can't be done. It's just how committed are you to getting it done?
Yeah.
Well, and doesn't, again, all of these people who are living rent-free in my brain, in one of these books, right, don't they talk about the fact that Gary Bishop's book, Unfuck Yourself. That is literally the title of the book. Or right. But in that book, he says, we're wired to win, right? You are wired to prove your thoughts correct. So if you think I can't do this, it's much more comfortable to look for and produce the evidence that proves that instead of saying, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm terrified to prove myself wrong. Because for so long, I've believed I can't do this. Well, if all of a sudden I prove myself right, I've been the idiot.
You have to unpack all the things that you didn't do because you didn't think you could. That comes with a laundry list of shit that you convinced yourself over your life that you weren't able to do. And that comes when you start regretting the shit that you missed out on, because had you just changed your mindset, you would have gone down a completely different path. And then you start the what if game. And that's why nobody wants to touch that box.
Whoa.
Did you stay at a holiday? Yeah. You stay at a Holiday Inn last night, Jason? What the hell?
Like you have authors that live rent-free. I have all this shit that lives rent-free in my head.
Oh, that is true, right? I mean, I literally just Googled, why are we afraid to fail? And it says the irrational fear of failure. Thank you, Google, the irrational, right? But I mean, it comes back from shame, right? It comes back from all of those things. And again, we are wired for comfort. We are comfortable failing, right? Because we've done it so often. Well, that feels okay, right? So it's almost like we want to fail because we know that that's comforting.
Yeah.
Well, and we've talked ourselves into that's what we're going to do anyway. So the uncomfortable part is the progress. So when you let go of the progress and you kind of let go and free fall, you're like, oh, there it is. I knew I was going to fuck up eventually. So at least I got it out of the way now.
I think I am more scared of being uncomfortable. I think that's what scares me, of like the unknown of being uncomfortable and pushing myself. Like, I don't know why, but.
Because you don't know how to live that way. You don't know how to live at whatever the goal is that you set for yourself. Like, a lot of us don't know how to live at the happy, healthy weight that we want to get to because we've never done it. Like, we've never lived healthy. We've never made healthy food decisions. We've never made healthy activity decisions. Like, we just don't do it. So not knowing how to live that way, that's why so many people revert back to what they did before, because they know how to do that.
But okay, let's take a hot minute back though. We have all learned to do things that we never learned how to do before. We're all married. We might not know how to do it well, but we're doing it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We took that leap of faith, college, kids, grandkids, driving, walking, running, water skiing, kayaking. I mean, like everything that we're doing, podcasting.
See, I haven't even tried water skiing, and like, I'm not an adventurous person, and I think I'm scared of looking so stupid that like it makes me not want to try it. Like, that's what my fear is. Like, I'm scared of other people's opinions.
Google says you are correct.
I mean, if Google says it, Google then says it must be correct.
Right.
If the Goog says it.
If the Goog says it.
Wow. Okay, but we have unpacked a lot here.
Yeah. It's been a good conversation for sure.
Oh. So, okay. So what are we taking away from this? What are our aha moments? What are we going to carry forward? What are we trying this summer?
Consistency.
Consistency. Just doing it no matter what.
Yeah. And if you fall off track, get back on. There's no end, you know, but your life is worth fighting for. There's so much out there that you have a right to experience. Like, and that's a mantra that I've been telling myself is I deserve to live a happy and healthy life. I deserve that just as much as anybody else. Just because I grew up with obesity doesn't mean I'm less worthy of that kind of life. And that's what I want for myself. I want that life. I want happiness. I want success. I want health. I want all of these things. And if I want it, I know I'm going to have to work for it. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to put that work in. But like I said, there's no end. It's a journey to discovering yourself, discovering more about yourself. And I don't know. I think I'm just really excited for my future. I'm excited to dive into the unknown and see like what's out there, you know?
Well, we are excited for you, and we are here to cheer you on, to support you, to do whatever we possibly can do. And I would love to officially, formally, publicly invite you back on this podcast kind of all summer long to just keep checking in with you. Cause this is going to be fascinating.
Yes. I would love that. I will absolutely share, you know, what I'm doing and how it's working and how I'm feeling. I think that would be a good thing. To kind of just assess my progress with you guys since, you know, you've been here since the beginning. So.
Well, that's what makes us so, I guess, I don't know, fulfilling, happy, great for me is that we've been doing this work together now for a very long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's really fun to just be able to connect with each other because I feel like we all know each other so well that it's like, oh, but I remember. Oh, but, oh, I don't know. It's just, it's different, right? We're all going through something similar and we're approaching it in different ways. And just having the space to share how we're doing it and these aha moments is how we all make progress.
Yeah. I think it's important for other people to hear too. Just real life stories.
Oh my God. Right. Yep. Because Jason, I mean, we all talk about this often is that, you know, we're always walking this fine line between how do we share our bariatric journey with the world? And by doing it publicly, we're opening ourselves up to a lot of things that maybe we just didn't realize. Yeah. But the flip side is that if we want more bariatric patients to not only access the life-saving care that we have all taken, but for all of us to find success, it takes these public stories. Yeah, and we have to show the good, and we have to show the bad, and we have to show the meh, and we have to show the nopes, and the mess ups, and that we have to show it all. Mm-hmm. And that's hard because we're showing where we have fallen short of our own expectations.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's scary. It's vulnerable. But I guess in my mind, if I'm helping even one person, you know, that's what's important to me. That's what matters to me.
Yep. Well, and what I've discovered is that the more that I share where I'm getting it wrong, the more I get it right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, mm-hmm. this is actually a good thing. I'm actually okay with me totally screwing that thing up, because here's what I learned. And now here's what I'm tweaking to move forward. And that's going to help somebody else. And it makes me not feel alone, because then I get all of these messages and they're like, oh girl, me too. From like 100 people.
Literally,
and
you're like, every time I'm honest about something I'm struggling with, my DMs fill up more during that than any other time.
Yeah.
And because people want relatability, they want somebody that they can really talk to about real problems and how difficult this is. It's not the easy way out. We say it over and over and over again, but until you get to that point where you are in it and you realize like, no, this shit is hard. Like, you need to talk to people about it. You have to.
Yeah.
You can't keep it in.
Nope. You cannot. All right, my friend. Well, if people would like to reach out to you, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. My username is at katie.vsg. I also have a TikTok. It's the same username. I'm trying to be active on there. Instagram's just my safe space. So I spend more time there. It's hard for me to get on TikTok. And I think it's because literally your videos just pop up on anyone's For You page. So it's just, it's kind of scary opening yourself up to like such a wide audience like that. But like we said, I'm just trying to put my story out there to help somebody else. And so I'm kind of working on that across platforms. But my main account is on my Instagram at katie.vsg. My DMs are always open.
Always. Always. Katie, my friend, thank you so much for joining us today. We know this conversation was big and vulnerable, and we know you've been wrestling with a lot. And we're just so thankful that you're willing to share it with the world.
Thank you so much for having me. And I can't wait to continue meeting with you guys and talking about our summers and how we're kicking ass.
I love it. I love it. Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Just want to thank everybody, Katie, you as well, for joining us today. And thank everybody for your support and the likes, the shares, the subscribes. We appreciate that always. Don't forget that you can leave us ratings and reviews on your favorite podcast players, as well as our YouTube channel. And you can also leave us voice messages on the Anchor app that we can incorporate into future episodes of the podcast. And that just helps us highlight you guys even more, because we love that. We love the highlighting aspect of our people, because you guys make all this possible. So thank you guys so much. And just remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Bye, friends.
Bye-bye.